Are you ready for your next winter adventure? Whether it's a stylish all-wheel drive SUV to get the family where they need to go, or an innovative EV to make the switch to electric, ChevyDriveChicago.com has you covered. With Equinox, Traverse, Silverado, Trax, and Trailblazer, you're sure to find the perfect Chevy to match your needs and lifestyle. But finding the right car is only part of the story. Winter weather is here, and your vehicle needs to be ready for anything. From oil changes and tire rotations to unexpected repairs, your local Chevy dealer is here to help. Their team of experts knows your vehicle, and they will make sure your car is safe, reliable, and ready to handle whatever the season brings. So why wait? Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today to find your local dealer, shop the latest vehicles, and schedule your service appointment. ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Keith, are you ready for the Patriots season to be over?
I am. I am ready for that. I think so are the Patriots.
Yesterday was so bad.
How bad was it?
I don't even think I can put it to words.
No,
there was something
that's gonna
about...
do it for us today. Seriously, like watching that game, you had to wait all day for it. You know it's head to head with Bills Lions, which we'll get to later.
That made it extra depressing.
90 total points in that game.
That made it extra depressing.
And we're watching this slog just brutal.
I think
they can't tackle. They can't block. They can't do a thing.
I think there was something about it being at 4 o'clock. Nick said before the show, almost 4:30. That made it extra miserable. Like it just made it feel extra miserable yesterday. Yep. They start out, they do what they always do. They put together a nice drive. They stall out in the red zone or near the red zone. Hold, miss kick. And from there, the Cardinals just kind of pour it on. The Patriots get some touchdowns late. Questionable play calling. Ugly turnovers where the Patriots just hand it to the other side. It just, yesterday felt bad. In a bad season, yesterday felt like it stood out. And I think it's because it was a 4 o'clock game with the Z Squad on the broadcast, with the Lions and Bills going head to head with it, and it felt extra bad.
Well,
yesterday.
And they hadn't played in 2 weeks, right? So like we hadn't seen them play in a while, and then this is what they do. This is the product that we're getting.
This is what they worked on.
Brutal. Because like one of the things we talked about last week was, all right, this is the first time for head coach Gerard Mayo to coach a game after the bye. Could be a big advantage, right? For great coaches. The bye week is huge. Like, oh my God, you're the Cardinals. Like, Gerard Mayo has 2 weeks to prepare for us. What does he have up his sleeve? Turns out nothing.
Turns out
he doesn't have anything up his sleeve. And it's not just more of the same. It might be worse. It's so weird that they won the first game of the season. They beat the Bengals week one. And you're like, oh. Maybe.
And they looked like they had an identity.
They were tackling guys.
They played with edge.
Hard-nosed.
They were smacking the crap out of Cincinnati. Yeah. Like the offense was ugly, but you're like, okay, they have an identity.
Worse.
They have an attitude. It's gotten worse.
And that's why, like, again, so many people talk about, like, hey, you got to give this guy time. And, you know, it's year one. He's got no talent. Look at Dan Campbell. Look at Bill Belichick in 2000. Like, look at all these guys. they trended up by the end of the year. Their teams were looking better at the end of the year. Dan Campbell got off to a horrible start, and he was a punchline for a long time. Then they kind of righted the ship, and they played 500 football the last 6 weeks of the season. If the Patriots are going to play 500 football the last 6 weeks of the season, they need to win out. They need to beat Buffalo twice. They need to beat the Bills twice.
I don't feel good about that.
No. Unless the Bills just don't show up week 18 and take them super, super, super lightly, which I guess is a possibility. But even then, I don't like their chances of pulling that one out. But yeah, this is, once again, you get a situation, and the broadcast was on it too. Drake May, Christian Gonzalez, and 51 other guys. It's like what you have.
Well, and including the coaching staff,
well,
too.
Well, no, lump them in.
But, man, yeah, I didn't love the broadcast yesterday. No offense to the afternoons guy there, Ross Tucker. I didn't love
He'll
the
be on
broadcast
tomorrow
yesterday.
With the fellas.
Yeah, check that out. Yeah. But they were giving it to the Pats during the broadcast. Like the
they
game,
were. They were very honest.
The game analysis I didn't care much for, but the big picture analysis was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And they caught Jonathan and Robert in the middle of the game just ripping the play calling.
That might have been the most entertaining thing of the entire game.
Yeah.
It really was.
Yeah.
You get a shot up there after a negative run, and there's Jonathan Kraft with his notebook out, just hammering away notes. It says the offensive play calling is terrible.
I'd love to get my hands on that thing.
Yeah, what do you think he's got in there?
I have no idea.
Just some doodles?
Yeah.
I know when I was supposed to take notes in college, there's a lot of like Batman symbols like a lot of doodling.
Yeah, there's a lot of doodling going on in the margins.
He's got like real bullet points, like fire Alex Van Pelt, fire Gerard Mayo, fire everybody. He's like, Dad, what do you think of these?
Yeah, there's like a bunch of Dunder Mifflin paper notes in there because he's very busy with that.
Good job by Terps. Got it up in the Twitch chat.
Nice. Look at
that
these.
That really
two.
Was. That was the most entertaining part. He's got his pen out. Can't believe the play calling.
Okay, so he's not the only one.
Can't believe
the play calling.
Well, it's funny because wasn't Alex Van Pelt, we thought, out of like the big four.
Yeah.
Covington, Mayo, Elliott Wolf, and Van Pelt were like, all right.
The safest.
Well, no, not necessarily the safest.
I'm sorry.
But just the best at
doing
his job.
Doing the best at his job. You're right. Not the safest.
This
doing the best at his job.
This was a step backwards.
Yes, yes, yes.
This was a step backwards. Although everybody else in contention for that, like who's the best, who's the worst, nobody had a good game.
No.
Mayo wasn't good. Covington wasn't good. And then Elliott Wolf, obviously, all season. Just this is the team that he has.
So let's, in case you've missed any of this, let's set it up. You're on Jones and Keefe. On a Patriots Monday, we will talk to Hunter Henry. We have man-to-man-to-man coverage with Christian Gonzalez.
Nice.
We'll get to all your phone calls all day long. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and the text line. You can tweet and interact on Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can also chat there. Always a healthy conversation going on Twitch. And you can watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. So if you're watching on Twitch, as Keith just said, Turp did a good job putting up the video of Robert and Jonathan. Now, I'm no lip-reading expert.
That was pretty clear-cut.
I'm very bad at this. Remember when Mac was talking about the quick game sucking or whatever it was? Our quick game effing sucks?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I tried to play the lip-reading game that day and did exceptionally poorly at it. So I let the professional lip-readers try to come
everybody.
Up with it. No, it's not.
I got you.
It's tough in those streets.
Yeah.
So the professional lip readers out there, Robert says it's the offensive play calling. Okay, now this is after they get stuffed for another loss, another unimaginative, horrible play call.
Negative run.
It's the offensive play calling. Jonathan Kraft, the play calling is terrible.
The play calling is terrible.
With his notes.
Yeah.
And the two of them just like chit-chatting like they're watching the Patriots like anybody else is going, this sucks, it's terrible, it's the play calling.
Yeah.
That's not, an odd question.
Not a great sign.
It wasn't a question, it was a statement.
No, but I kind of thought, you know, Gerard Mayo, and for all the reasons I've mapped out all year long, his relationship with Robert Kraft and, like, all the things that he said about him during the season and all this, that, and the other thing, I felt like Gerard Mayo was safe. Alex Van Pelt, I thought he might have been one of the guys that would have been easy for them to move on from and tell the fan base, hey, we're trying to change. But Drake May has been playing well. So who, at least on the coaching staff, would deserve any credit at all for Drake May? It would be Alex Van Pelt.
I agree.
So then I was thinking, man, is there a scenario where they're both back and, you know, maybe Covington's the only one that's gone and then their big pitch is we're going to spend money in the offseason. We're going to bring in players. New D coordinator and players, and then that's your pitch.
Yep.
I kind of thought that until yesterday's game. When he's sitting there hammering away notes, taking notes during the game.
And again, the owners.
And both of them straight up saying how bad the offensive play calling is.
Yeah.
So what are they going to do? Just trot it right back? I think Alex Van Pelt's gone now.
Okay, me too. One more time. It's the offensive play calling, Robert. Jonathan, the play calling is terrible.
So that guy's not back.
Okay, that guy's not back. Then you get Mayo after the game. This worm. And he tried to walk it back today.
Shockingly.
Both in his press. Oh, who could have seen it coming?
I was shocked that he walked it back.
Who could have seen it coming that less than 24 hours later he had to course correct?
Normally stands by his convictions. When Mayo says something, you can put it in pen.
You can etch it in stone with Gerard Mayo. What a worm. I didn't mean anything by it.
That's what it was. He was emotional or whatever.
Yeah, let me get the exact wording.
Shouldn't you be used to it by now? You guys lose every week. Shouldn't you know what that feeling is like?
He was defensive.
Oh, yeah, right. He was defensive.
Yeah, that's what
I wish the team was defensive. Give up 30 points to the Cardinals.
Okay.
Lord.
So, like, oh, I was defensive. Oh, the next question, I tried to correct it. Wasn't the next question, Gerard.
That was like three later.
But if you missed the exchange yesterday after the game, he's asked about the back-to-back runs on third and fourth down. Down by the goal line, inside the five. They run it with Gibson on third down. They run it with Stevenson on fourth down. Stuffed.
They didn't even measure.
Could have made it a one-score game. They didn't even bother bringing out the chain
game.
They're good. Didn't get there. We all knew you were going to be short. We all knew what the play call was.
Awful.
So they're stuffed there. Could have made it a one-score game. You know, late in the third quarter, 4 or 5 minutes left, whatever it was. And so Mayo's asked about it after the game. Here's what he says.
You consider running Drake in that situation, that it's a short yard situation, you know, he can run.
That's, you said it, I didn't.
You could say that.
I did say that. Would you say that?
You said it, I didn't.
You said it, I didn't.
Is there any other way to take that than a direct shot at Alex Van Pelt?
No, that is. That's,
you said it, I didn't.
That is throwing Van Pelt under the bus as to why we didn't do that.
Wow.
Forgetting that he's the head coach.
Yeah, you're in charge.
You're the head coach.
You're the boss.
You can do that.
Yeah.
You can go down to Alex Van Pelt and say, hey, run it with May. You can be like, hey, do like some sort of like option type play or QB sneak, whatever you want to do. You're the head coach. You can do that. And you know what? The worst part of it is you were caught with your pants down for two plays. Because let's say third down, you're like, hey, AVP, run it. And he runs it to Gibson. And then he goes back. And then on fourth down, Mayo's standing there like, man, I wonder what he's going to call. I wonder what the play call is going to be.
What could we be calling here?
You're the head coach.
Yeah.
You said it, I didn't.
Okay. I did say that. Would you say that?
We asked Van Pelt about this on Friday. It's actually very good timing.
This is great timing, although I wish we had Van Pelt on today.
No, me too.
But it was good talking to him on Friday, and we got a good answer out of him.
We asked him whether or not whether or not Mayo had input, basically, on running the football, running clock, being aggressive, this and that. He's like, I work for coach. Coach wants us to run it, I run
it.
Coach wants me to be aggressive, I'll be aggressive.
Yeah, against the Colts, the one we're talking about is Gonzalez, who we'll get to, and he'll be on the show today. One of the few very bright spots on the team. He comes up with an interception, and you're up by 7 with 8 minutes to go. We're thinking, hey, chuck it. Maybe make a big play, and what do they do? Run, punt.
Run, punt.
Yeah, then you're like, oh, that was nothing. And that clearly was, just watching it, you felt like Mayo said, hey, let's kill some clock. Hey, we have the lead by 7. Like we play so scared. And that's definitely a Gerard Mayo thing. And then so now for this one, it's like, hey, did you think about running Drake May? He's like, fuck. Yeah.
You said it.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah. Like, oh, my
so
God.
Is there an organizational divide where, like, the coaches want to use him? I mean, he did run for a touchdown yesterday, but it wasn't a design run.
Yeah, and that was.
And it wasn't a sneak or anything like that.
The game even was in hand.
Well, that too. But, like, is there an organizational divide or disagreement? Mayo was asked about that today. Maybe. I mean, maybe the coaches don't have the latitude to do what they want down there.
I don't think Mayo has any feel for it. I think he's never called defensive plays. So what do you think he knows about offensive plays?
Nothing.
Nothing. So if something goes well, maybe he'll take credit for it. But if it doesn't, like, oh, it's Van Pelt. Head coach offense, which is another thing he'll walk back.
Yep. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, basically.
Beginning of the year, head coach offense.
Basically, if he said it, Keith, it's a safe assumption he's walked it back.
Right.
If he opened his mouth and uttered words this year, he's probably corrected it and or walked it back. Or been reprimanded behind the scenes and we just don't know about it.
I'm sure Alex Van Pelt, though, appreciates today's clarification. I'm sure Alex Van Pelt looks at it and says, oh, I don't really mind that you threw me directly under the bus after the game.
I'm sure he says what Mayo says. You know my heart.
Yeah.
I think Van Pelt knew his heart on that one. It wasn't just throwing the man right under the bus.
Tossed him right under there.
Not whatsoever. By the way, here was the correction. He had a longer one with the Greg Hill show, but here was his correction in his press conference this morning. It's pretty to the point.
You know, I know there's a lot of chatter about, you know, the question last night. You said that. I didn't mean anything by that.
No.
It was more of a defensive response. And ultimately, and I tried to clarify that, with the follow-up question, because ultimately all of those decisions are mine. So Just wanted to get that out there.
Good.
I do like that he reverts back to the "it all stops with me"
yep.
kind of thing. It's like, all right, well, you're 3-11, so like, if you want us to put it all on you, I guess we can. But you've definitely not wanted it to all be on you. He keeps saying how accountable he is, except for all the times that he wasn't accountable.
Curran, Curran was early on this. Credit to Curran.
Yeah, yeah.
Curran, you know, has a relationship with Mayo. They work together on Quick Slants. We all know it. We all saw it. Curran was early on this months ago. He's like, he keeps saying it's on him, but it doesn't sound genuine. It just sounds so disingenuous to be like, well, yeah, you said it, I didn't, but ultimately it stops with me. And it's so weaselly and Bill Belichickian to go, well, I tried to correct that in the next question. Wasn't the next question. You were asked about it like three questions later. You didn't correct it at all. You were asked about it later on, or else it never would have been corrected, because you probably didn't even know what you said when you said it.
I know.
Which is what we see all the time. So, Keith, I said this weeks ago. We said it all during the bye week. I'm a broken record on it. Just like Mayo's a broken record after all these games. You got to do better and blah, blah, blah. What's going to get him fired isn't singularly the play on the field. I mean, that's a big factor. It was awful yesterday. It's as bad as it gets. Something about being at 4 o'clock head-to-head with Bills and Lions made that feel worse. So on the field matters. But all of these missteps off the field are just as bad. And, like, I know he and the Kraft feel the same way. They don't like the play calling either, so maybe that'll save him his job at the end of the day. And he's stabbing Alex Van Pelt in the back just like he was stabbing Bill Belichick in the back a year ago. But these are the kind of things that if and when he gets fired, gets him fired.
Oh, for sure. And this also just feels like Drake May is going to have three offensive coordinators in 3 years.
Yep.
He's going to be another one of these quarterbacks like Mac Jones or Baker Mayfield or whatever. Ryan Tannehill, I think, had a million of them in Miami. Like, because it feels like it's trending towards blame Alex Van Pelt for this year. Gerard Mayo comes back in year two. And then after another bad year, then Gerard Mayo's gone, and then it'll be a brand new head coach and offensive coordinator in year three. That's where it feels like it's going. And, you know, Mayo, remember he kind of threw Elliott Wolf under the bus earlier in the season when he was talking about the roster is what it is. I won't say if it's good or bad. And, like, we're dealt a hand. Remember, like, all that stuff?
Yes.
But it's funny because, well, it's not funny. It's kind of sad. These three guys are in these situations, and normally, I mean, you think where the Patriots were coming from, it was Bill Belichick was two of those guys that we're talking about, and then he handpicked the offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some success, some not success, I think, depending on who he picked. This is completely different. Elliott Wolf is the GM who did not pick the head coach, and the head coach did not pick the offensive coordinator. So, like, all these guys are probably would be happy to stab the other in the back. Jonathan Kraft and Robert Kraft beat with each guy individually, like, whose fault would you say it is? They'd all have, like, another guy. Like, that guy's fault. That guy's fault. That guy's fault.
There's one life raft, and they're drowning each other to get on that life raft.
Yeah.
Is exactly what they're doing. So, look, there was a flood of reporting yesterday morning about Mayo and his job security and how he's going to be safe. And there was good reporting on Bill Belichick, too. We'll get to that later on in the
program. That was also pregame.
Well, this is what I was going to say.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if Diana Rossini, your girl.
She's usually right.
Josina Anderson, my girl.
She's usually actually right.
I wonder if they jumped the gun on their reports. Here's what Rossini said. She said, well, there hasn't been a public vote of confidence from the Kraft family. True. There's been no public vote of confidence.
No.
We haven't heard anything public.
Although, yet. To be fair, to be consistent, if they did that, I would actually feel worse about it. I always go with the false.
We would dissect that.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's a worse look.
Okay,
I think that's actually a worse look.
Fair. But there hasn't been a public vote of confidence. There really hasn't been much off the record until this. Patriots leadership is standing by head coach Gerard Mayo. Just as discussions about the next NFL hiring cycle heats up, Robert Kraft has privately assured those close to him he's committed to giving his first-year head coach the time and resources he needs to grow in that role. She also added the Kraft family knew the rebuild would take multiple years. They did? Multiple years?
I mean, starting now or, like, starting post-Brady? Like, what are we doing? Maybe they're counting now, but as a fan, it's like, no, this has been five years.
It's half a decade.
Yeah.
They want to allow Mayo, quote-unquote, the opportunity to find his voice.
Yeah, he's still looking.
Establish his footing. That could take a while. And develop into the leader they believe he can be. So, you know, it's a little wordy, but basically Mayo's back. Josina Anderson also said, source on the Patriots and their head coach, Rob Mayo, whether there's been any thought of Mayo's tenure ending with a one-year run. Quote, there was never any consideration of this. The Lions started 3-13 the first year under Dan Campbell. You heard that before?
I hate it. Yeah, no, I hear it all the time. That's why I keep saying it, too. I have a broken record. But they were 3-3 in their last six.
Yeah. They arrow was pointing up.
The Patriots could end the season on a 7-game losing streak.
I would wager on it.
I mean, that's what it's looking like.
They started 1-6 the next year. People were calling for his head. Plus, that was going on before Mayo became head coach, too. Patience is a virtue. So there was all this reporting yesterday before the game. And then yesterday happened. And he might have, according to Albert Breer, talked himself right onto the hot seat yesterday.
Oh, if you add everything up, it's as bad a performance for Jerod Mayo as you could get. The way the team looked, coming off a bye, slow start, just a mess, and then after the game. And you lose to a team that's really not great.
No.
500, middle of the pack at best, probably not a playoff team.
Non-playoff team, exactly.
And you get absolutely worked by them, a non-competitive game, and then your first reaction post-game is to throw the offensive coordinator under the bus? Got it. Like, I don't think you could have drew it up worse outside of like 50 to nothing. You know what I mean? Like everything else was bad.
So he may have talked himself right onto the hot. He is just dodging a bullet. Bunch of reports he's safe.
No.
And then after the game, he puts
not so fast, my friends.
Who could have predicted that?
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built. It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising?
People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
If I'm wrong, guys, but that felt like he was throwing Alex Van Pelt under the bus.
That's the only reason you're comparing it to that. What do you think of the comment that was made?
I just think that's a really hard thing to come back from, because the players see that. They see the lack of accountability. The other coaches see that. So let's say you come out of this year and you're not happy with how things are, but you're going to keep Jerod Mayo and you're going to change some of the staff. How are you going to get coaches here then? Because they're all going to think that Jerod Mayo is in the hot seat in 2025, and now you have this. Like, right where he threw a guy who's been in the industry for a long time under the bus. Now, I assume Jerod's going to walk it back tomorrow. The trouble with that is that we've already been down that road a few times.
Too many times.
And I think Jerod's got a great potential as a coach, but it's starting to feel like if you're the Kraft and you're looking at it and it's like, we only have one shot at Mike Vrabel, like, how do you compare what's happened here versus Vrabel? And on that field today, right?
Are you inferring that Mayo probably talked himself onto the hot seat today, Albert?
I think he may have, yeah.
I would run from Mayo is what I would do if I were the Patriots.
They might.
So how much stock should we put in Breer saying that? Breer says, I think he might have talked himself onto the hot seat.
It's a little bedardish, right? Like last week.
He might have talked himself onto the hot seat. How much stock are we putting into that? Is that informed, or is that just, hey, I'm doing a live talk show and, you know, I'm speaking in loose terms?
I think it might be more of that, but he usually watches himself. He's not exactly just firebombing stuff. Like, I think he's heard from certain people. Maybe he didn't think it was quite as safe as, you know, Justina Anderson or Rossini, which again was pregame. And I don't think that you could just say, hey, these four games don't mean anything. It's a quarter of the season. And all these other examples of coaches in bad years usually were coaching better and had some momentum going into the next season. This seems very much like the opposite. So if you have a game like yesterday, I think you can change how you were feeling like during the bye week, for example. And then what if it looks even worse against the Bills, which is a possibility, and the Chargers and the Bills again? You're going to ignore those games? Like, hey, we said he was safe in week 13, so it doesn't matter that the wheels just fell off.
The Bills just hung 48 on Detroit.
Yeah.
What are they going to do to you?
Whatever they want. Honestly, it's one of those things where it's kind of up to them.
So think about it that way.
And they're in control.
And now Mahomes is out for the Chiefs, like not to go down this road, but like, or could be out for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And so it's like now Buffalo's back in the mix for that number one seed.
They smell it.
They're out for blood.
Yep.
And if they're putting up 48 on Detroit, what are they going to do to you, and how's that going to look? And we know the Crafts are pissed. Now,
but
they might not be pissed with Mayo. They might be pissed with Alex Van Pelt and the terrible play calling. They got caught yesterday on the broadcast. And
does it look like Mayo's getting better?
No.
No. Okay. Very clearly, no. Did it look like he had his team prepared after a bye week?
No. And that's something we spent a lot of time talking about, how they don't have to win. None of us thought they were going to win. None of us said they had
unlikely
to win this game.
Yeah.
But we're like, are they buttoned up?
No.
We literally said this. Are you going to take bad penalties on the opening drive? Yes. Miss kick on
Can
the opening
do.
Drive? Yes. It looked like they worked on nothing, learned nothing, got worse on the
and
bye
then
week.
Throw
that's a reflection
your coordinator
of the coach.
Under the bus. And I think Breer brings up a fantastic point about, all right, it just took them 12, 13 interviews to land Alex Van Pelt last year. Okay. A lot of the other reporting out there was offensive coordinators that did interview with the team were like, this does not sound like a place out. That was before Mayo coached a single game, and before Mayo went 3-14 likely in his first year, and before they knew that Mayo would throw them under the bus in postgame. So the next guy, unless it's somebody that has zero experience, like if you want to go down that route, it's just like, I just need this job. What are they going to say? All right, yes, I get to work with Drake May, but the last guy I got to work with Drake May for a year got fired, and his head coach is like, you know, poking at him throughout the year. So it's not the best spot for an offensive coordinator, and it was highlighted yesterday in the postgame with Mayo.
No, it's true, because I've said before, boy, I think a lot of people would jump at the opportunity to work with Drake May.
But you also have to work with Gerard Mayo.
Right. If you were the head coach, maybe you'd jump at the opportunity. Maybe.
Yes. Yeah.
But if you have to work for Mayo, and then every game, there's a chance that he's going to throw you under the bus and shove you, you know, in front of a moving train. Yeah, no thanks. It's a good point. So as tantalizing as May is, and we haven't talked a lot about Drake May yet, I think he was good yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't
that
stand
interception
out.
Was insane. That was insanity.
You blame him for that one?
I don't put that one on Drake May. Kayshon Booty had the ball in his hands and was like, not good enough. Let me shovel past this to the defender.
Drake May now has, by the way, I read this note before the game yesterday. He's now thrown a pick in 6 consecutive games, which is the longest streak for a Patriots quarterback since Drew Bledsoe threw a pick in 6 straight games in 99. The last two interceptions have been handed to the defense by Hunter Henry.
Literally handed.
A week ago. Yeah. And the one yesterday was insane how bad it was.
And think about that. So he was 19 of 23 passing, and that's one of the incompletions, and that is the interception. Like, it is kind of fitting, because you're like, oh, yeah, the receivers are bad. Like, well, how bad can they be? I don't know. They're giving the other team interceptions.
They are
like,
handing it to them. In the spirit of the holiday season, they are gift-wrapping interceptions to the defense.
And his touchdown that he threw was pretty sweet. He ran one in. I think it's clear, week in and week out, how Drake May is doing everything he can offensively, but there's nobody else. And Christian Gonzalez is doing everything he can defensively,
but
there's nobody else.
Not even because he's coming on the show. He was fantastic yesterday.
He's awesome.
Meaning Gonzalo. I mean, May was, I think, fine. I don't think he stood out, like, in any great way, but I think he was good.
It's to the level where teams shouldn't even throw, wherever he is, throw somewhere else. You have an advantage somewhere else.
I think it was Bedard. It was one of the beat writers yesterday tweeted in game that to start the game, Gonzalez was keeping them in the game single-handedly by breaking up plays to Marvin Harrison. So, no, he was phenomenal yesterday. May was good. Everybody else stinks, and that includes the head coach. And you're right. If you're an offensive coordinator and you get to work with Drake May, but you have to work for Gerard
Mayo.
So
what's the catch? It's like, well, how much time do you have?
Who's taking that gig? 617-779-7937. We'll get more into, I think, disagreement between Robert and Jonathan. They were aligned on their criticism of Alex Van Pelt yesterday.
They seem to be in lockstep on that.
Are they aligned on Mayo? We'll get to that coming up. Mayo's job security, along with the final 3 games and how ugly it can get. Let's start it off here with Barry in New Bedford. What's up, Barry?
Hey, guys, quickly, that was not Booty's fault. That was the center's fault when he whiffed on the block, and Drake May had to kind of wing it, and Booty just couldn't catch it. It was thrown behind him.
It was Booty's fault. He's an NFL wide receiver. I mean, hit him in the hands.
You can drop the ball, Barry. You don't have to turn around
to throw it
and
to the
gift wrap it to the defender. Yeah.
Watch the center whiff on that block. It's
okay,
so
I don't care. I don't care. Yeah.
Quickly on Mayo, what you're seeing here, he's not a head coach. What you're seeing is some guy from human resources ratting people out. This week it's Van Pelt. Next week it's going to be what? Covington, a position coach?
Perhaps.
I mean, literally, it's like I'm watching Survivor here, and this guy's just selling people out left and right just to maintain his job.
That's true.
It is. I'm sorry, Barry.
Oh, new season of the Traitors, January.
Oh, nice.
Mayo would be good.
Mayo might need a job. Maybe.
Mayo could go on that show. Former New England Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo is in here throwing everybody under the bus from Real Housewives.
It'd be a good strategy.
He'd be good.
That'd be a good way to do it.
It is true. He is turning the attention. And, you know, the question is, will that be enough to fool Robert Kraft into being like, yeah, you know what, Gerard, it is everybody else's fault. That's the one thing Gerard has going for him. Maybe Robert does take his side. And it's like, all right, we're not as committed to Alex Van Pelt and DeMarcus Covington. Maybe we move on from these guys. But I don't know if that's going to be enough.
No, me either. Let me get since we were talking about Kayshon Booty, let me get his comments after the game. These were good.
Oh, about the interception?
Yeah, for a guy who about a month ago I was like, you know what?
I'll take a hike.
I think I want him on this team. I think he's got a role on the team. Kayshon Booty after the game. This is also criticism of Alex Van Pelt. We knew they were going to play man the whole game. But I feel like it's disrespectful when they go man in the first quarter.
Why?
Because they think they can cover you straight up, I guess.
And they can.
He said, I feel like we need to be better at attacking that instead of being shy about it. So it's disrespectful to play man-to-man on Kayshon Booty.
Yep.
And they need to be more aggressive in attacking that. That, again, is a criticism of Alex Van Pelt.
Wow.
Let's go to Marcus in Roxbury. Go ahead, Marcus.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Uh-huh. I wanted to say I think we have one star on that football team, and I think it's our corner. I think it's Gonzalez. I hear a lot about just how Drake May is, you know, this guy and all of that. I really don't see no star potential in him. I truly think that Jaden Daniels and Caleb are playing a lot better than him. He has not won a game yet this year, and every week we keep giving him excuses.
Okay, well he beat Caleb Williams. Well, Marcus, he has two wins this year technically. Yep. One, he gets credited for the Jets. We don't give that to him. He did beat the Bears, but in Marcus's defense, I think a lot of quarterbacks could have beat the Bears that way.
Oh, no doubt.
That day, the way the defense was playing. Do yourself a favor and watch Caleb Williams tonight. And call back tomorrow and tell me you'll take Caleb Williams.
I thought Caleb Williams was going to be great. He hasn't been to this point. You cannot argue that this year Caleb Williams better than Drake May. Jaden Daniels, sure. Jaden Daniels got off to a great start. Patriots also didn't even start Drake May right away, which shows you how dumb they are once again.
Jaden Daniels also 3 years older than Drake May.
Yeah, true. I think he's been great. Like, I disagree with the caller. I don't think anybody really outside of maybe Josh Allen, Lamar, like these like top MVP candidates could get a whole lot more out of a team that can't block, a team that can't catch, and the play calling suspect. Like, what rookie quarterback, second year quarterback, third year quarterback is going to overcome that and look better than what he's looked?
Yeah. If you want to tell me you'll take Jaden Daniels over Drake May,
okay.
Agree to disagree. I don't think that's crazy. I think the way they're playing right now, it's crazy to take Caleb Williams over Drake May. And I disagree. He doesn't have star power. Look at the little touchdown flick he had to Pop Douglas yesterday.
That was pretty slick.
Look at some of the plays he's made in these games. So, look, to say he hasn't won, I think, is fair. He really hasn't won games.
He has not.
And until the last 2 weeks, I thought turnovers were fair to criticize him for. He hasn't fumbled. Both of the picks have been hand-delivered to the defense. So, I don't even think that one's fair anymore. The winning is fair. But I think there's an easy explanation for it. He has nothing. He doesn't have coaching.
Nothing.
He doesn't have talent.
He
doesn't have a center who can snap the ball.
No.
Vidarian Lowe hasn't touched anybody trying to block the last couple of weeks.
A lot of guys.
Guys can't catch, and when they drop the ball, they don't just drop it to the ground. They hand it to the defense. So he has nothing around him. If that's excuse-making, then fine, that's excuse-making. But I do think that's reality.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. More on Gerard Mayo and his job security. Did Jonathan and Robert agree on Gerard Mayo and his future? Let's get into that with all your feedback next.
Third and one, the fourth and one. You guys have gotten stopped there a couple times this season. Would you feel comfortable sneaking it? And is that something that you might voice to Alex?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, it was a good quarterback sneaker in college. A big dude. I'm heavier than people think. So I think just messily maybe a conversation for that. And I think it's tough, to stop, 6'5" dude. for 1 yard. So, but also at the same time, Andre's, pretty dang good at getting 1 yard as well. So it's unfortunate that it happened, but definitely there's a time and place for it.
What do you think? Last Christmas in New England for Gerard Mayo?
Possible.
Very possible.
Very possible.
In play.
Yeah. It's that was not a good performance yesterday.
No, and
one of the worst.
It sounds like
not the worst.
Oh, it's down there.
If you add it all up, post game and the game itself, the outcome, package. The total package, the Lex
full,
Luger,
the full mayo,
the full mayo. We got the full mayo was on display yesterday in Arizona. So 3 more weeks to clean it up, and it does not seem likely that that'll happen.
New. So
I like Drake May talking about how big he is.
Well, I was gonna say Drake May seems to agree with Gerard
Mayo. Of the week. Drake May, Hoss of the Week?
Garrett Crochet got our first Hoss of the Week. Yep, I think Drake May is.
Drake May might.
Squarely in the mix. But he seems to agree with Gerard Mayo. Like, yeah, big guy. You can use me down
yeah.
here.
Yeah. 6'5", hard to stop a guy getting 1 yard. He says, I'm heavier than people think.
Yeah.
Same. Now, people well, probably are pretty right on how heavy I am.
Only for 30 seconds at a time. But when it comes to Mayo, do you think there is an organizational disconnect on when to use him? Like, in other words, he's like, yeah, you can sneak me. I'm a big guy. Like, Ramondre's good down there, too. Although that ignores that they gave the ball to Gibson on third down, which pisses me off the more I think about it.
Yeah.
It was Stevenson on fourth down. And
yeah, I don't know why they don't run May a little bit
but
more.
Maybe it's a medical decision or something like that. You know, maybe after he got his concussion, they're like, look, he's the franchise. We're not going to do it. I don't.
That's also going back to playing scared.
Yes,
but then
oh,
so like
for
I,
sure.
But that feels like a Mayo thing, and yet Mayo's the one being like, I don't know why we didn't do it. So it's like I'm not sure because if anybody was to do say
it,
no,
if May wants to do it and Mayo wants to do it,
why doesn't Van Pelt? I don't know.
I mean, why don't they do it?
I don't know.
And maybe it's just because they're poorly coached and a bad organization. Very possible. I just wonder if there is some sort of organizational guardrail on May and those designed runs or QB sneaks.
Yeah, it's possible. And then you see the guy that he was compared to coming out of the draft, which was Josh Allen. First 2 touchdowns for the Bills yesterday. Just touchdown run, Josh Allen.
Plowing his way into the end zone.
Yeah. And like you don't have to do it all the time. It's funny, the quarterback on the other side also doesn't run enough. And they were talking about that on the broadcast a lot. Kyler Murray, who's half the size of Drake May, who can run, but he doesn't run late in the year either.
Nope.
And he chooses not to do it. But no, Drake May definitely should have ran one of those times. And we'll see, because they did go for a couple of fourth downs yesterday where 3-4 weeks ago maybe they don't. And so maybe now the Drake May thing, maybe that will be part of the playbook
forward. How many did they go for yesterday? They picked up one, didn't they? The other one, Stevenson ran somebody over, and then the other one is when they got stuffed. Was it only those two?
Was it just those two? But it was like, I remember, yeah, it was noteworthy.
They were 1 for 2, and I liked both. I don't love the play calling down there, and it didn't work, but I have zero problem with them going for it on fourth down.
Yeah.
They should have gone for it on fourth down.
The broadcast hated the play call in the first one, too, that like weird sweep.
That was a weird thing. They got away with it, and they picked it up.
Oh, the one they got was
the one they got was like, really?
Yeah.
That was the best thing he had?
So it was the full mayo, as we said
full
yesterday.
Mayo.
Jones and Keefe here on a Patriots Monday. A lot of reporting yesterday morning. Diana Rossini, Josina Anderson, Mayo's good. And then he sticks his foot in his mouth after the game. Jonathan and Robert are caught on television, pissed.
Jonathan's taking notes.
At the play calling. Jonathan's taking notes. Now, yep. That feels like more of a criticism of Van Pelt, but that's their temperament
I don't think he was taking notes going into the game just on the offense.
Good point.
I think it's the whole thing.
So Giardi wrote about this late last week, that there might even be disagreement between Robert and Jonathan on Gerard Mayo. And here's what he said.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
A reminder of what I wrote about last week. While Robert might have initially been the one making calls around the league, I'm told Jonathan has been the driving force since then. And if you'll recall, there's been some different reporting on the purpose of those calls. The initial conversation centered on how best to support the quarterback. Still, that tidbit has sprouted in several different directions regarding the coordinators, the GM, Elliot Wolf, and depending on how this season plays out, Mayo himself. So it started out as, how do we support the quarterback? Now they're asking about everybody, and it's Jonathan making the calls, according to Giardi.
Well, I mean, the whole timeline of it is kind of strange. So remember when Gerard Mayo was introduced as the new head coach of the Patriots? Was Jonathan Kraft there?
Nope.
No.
He was
putting out some sort of fire like somewhere else.
They had an issue at Dunder Mifflin. Right. Yeah.
So the Patriots are not the only thing that they're in charge of, obviously. And
no.
It's certainly not the most important or anything like that. He's not in every game. He's not in Arizona. He's not in every single game.
Nope.
But he wasn't there. Also, if you hear your dad compare the hire of the head coach to when he proposed to your mom, isn't that like a weird thing?
Yeah.
Isn't that like an odd thing?
Yes.
So you're going to put them on the same level? So there's zero chance in hell that they both like Gerard Mayo the same.
No.
Right? Like, if Jonathan Kraft was solely in charge, I'm not sure Jerod Mayo was ever even hired.
Jonathan,
let alone where he survived the second year.
Jonathan let you know by not showing up. He never agreed with the hire.
Yeah.
And so it's not his call to make the firing, but he can influence his father. And
I would say he's the best voice. I think.
Say, hey, Robert, you're making a mistake. You're making a mistake. I know what you said, and I know you thought highly of him, and I know, like, Jonathan has the potential to sway Robert. Yeah.
Probably the only one, because I don't think Elliot Wolf could sit down and be like, hey, maybe another coach. I think Robert would be like, you're barely hanging on to your job as it is. I don't need your input now on this. But Jonathan might be the one guy that says, hey, we got to really think about this. Like, how are we going to turn it around? Like, do we think he's going to be the guy that turns this around, or do we need to start that process over right now?
So there's that dynamic at play as well. 617-779-7937. Heisen is waiting very patiently. Go ahead, Heisen.
Hey, Jones and Keith. Thank you guys for taking my call.
Yeah.
Just wanted to talk about Booty real quick. Listen, Jones, I'm with you. I was giving Booty the benefit of the doubt from last year. It looks like he was really coming on this year. But after yesterday, the comments he made about Drake, saying how Drake could have laid it on him, Drake's playing it on him all year, and he's been dropping it. And the one time that he makes a mistake and he calls the interception for Drake, he just turns on him. And I just feel bad for Drake. Drake always standing up. He's always taking accountability. He's sticking up for his guy. He's taking all the blame. And nobody else in the organization does it.
So,
from the top down with the ownership all the way down to the water boys. And I just feel bad for Drake.
No, so it's a good point. I don't know that I feel bad for him per se, but
I kind of do. I usually don't feel bad for anybody, but like
Drake May is taking accountability for all these picks. And then you read me this other comment from Booty that I hadn't seen.
Yeah, so Mark
that Heisen was referencing.
Yeah, Mark Daniels had it. I guess they were asking him about that interception. And Kayshawn Booty said, quote, I'll just say, I know it's a play I've got to make, but it's kind of hard when you're running full speed in one direction. The ball's kind of low.
Okay, so I take it back.
That's a good point. You're not an NFL wide receiver.
I was wrong.
The ball was in the hands in stride every single time.
I was wrong. You can cut him.
See you later, dude.
He now has the KJ Osborne. He's in KJ Osborne territory. Yeah. Like, cut you tomorrow. I won't miss you.
Goodbye.
I liked what you were putting on tape about a month ago. Since then, not so much.
I don't think you really did. I think just based on who else was out there, people started to maybe think that he was good.
Fair.
It's like some sort of like Stockholm syndrome. Like, you see these Patriots receivers and you're like, well, he's pretty good. It's like, no. He's pretty good for this group.
Right.
He's not NFL good.
He's still terrible.
Right.
But he's pretty good for this group. 617-779-7937. You can dial us up all day long on a Patriots Monday. It's Jones and Keefe. We're talking about the Pats' disappointing, ugly, frustrating, gross loss to the Cardinals yesterday. 30-17. Jerod Mayo, his job security. Meanwhile, Bill Belichick is apparently so desperate.
How desperate is he?
He is placing phone calls to the New York Jets to get back into the NFL before taking the job at UNC. We'll get to that with all your Patriots phone calls next.